Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskNewPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Pain Train Pipe Bomb Productions. You all know who I am. My name is Alex Alcazaz, a.k.a. the Bear of Texas. If you're tuning into the show for the first time, welcome. Please be sure to hit the subscribe button, the notification bell. And if you'd please be so kind, share the show out and please leave a 5-star review. Now, today's episode is about the working relationship with WWE and TNA Wrestling. This was an unplanned episode because I just got off the phone with my business partner, Mr. Darnell Salins, a.k.a. The Playmaker. And he was curious to know why I haven't done an episode like this as of late. To be honest with you, it just never came to mind. Now, the impact, the TNA Wrestling and WWE relationship, I mean, that's kind of come to fruition. I don't even know if that's even the word to use, because that's actually a word that I never really do use, but it came to light, honestly, earlier this year. So, because, you know, when Jordynne Grace made her appearance at the Royal Rumble, and of course, so recently, you know, unsuccessfully challenging for the NXT Women's Championship. So, now I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm actually going to see if I can actually briefly get some guests in to join on the show to kind of give their thoughts on the matter. So I sent out a few invites, but we'll see how things go. So for the most part, I'll try to be talking about it as much as I can. If you ask me, well, obviously there's been a relationship going on for a while. I mean, obviously, I feel like it's been if you want to say it like that, but it's probably been talked about for a while. But you see, I think WWE and TNA Wrestling working together, you know, it could be a good thing, it can be a bad thing, you know, you just never know. I mean, you never know what to expect. I would say so far, so good, because recently there was that Battle Royal on NXT, and of course, you know, recently the big thing in NXT when Ethan Page appeared out of nowhere, you know, WWE really is getting better and better and better. And in the words of The Playmaker, AEW is, well, they're trying. So, I mean, you know, for me, everybody knows the BS that I deal with when it comes to the tribalism. But, you know, I always say, look, because AEW and Impact, and you see, I keep saying Impact Wrestling. It's now TNA Wrestling, but some people still call it Impact Wrestling, but some would say, look, whether you call it TNA Wrestling, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, Impact Wrestling, everybody knows who the heck you're talking about, Alex, so don't worry about it. So some of the words of the wrestling fans that tune in on this show. So anyway, but what I was trying to say is, because again, I'm actually trying to send out some invites. I'm kind of, you know, for people asking, you know, what is this all about? because AEW and Impact Wrestling, you know, had a working relationship. You know, of course, AEW still has a working relationship with New Japan. You know, if WWE and TNA Wrestling, if their working relationship gets better and better and better, then you got to take things to a whole new level. Like, you got to take things, you got to take things to a higher level. So, having a little hard time speaking, I'm a little overwhelmed right now. I have work in the morning. I just got done doing an episode for my other show, and here I am doing this unplanned episode because I'm trying to keep the fresh content going and try to do more than just simply focus on WWE and AEW. I mean, I should add Impact Wrestling to the mix because I want to cover as much professional wrestling as I possibly can. So, all right. The bottom line is, again, you know, I'm just kind of losing my focus a little bit because I'm trying to send out these invites. Again, I'm trying to do something new. Again, this was all unplanned. So, obviously, it's going to take a while. Now, Impact Wrestling has basically said that they want to have like a unique relationship, and I think, you know, both companies are willing to work together. You know, I've said it for a while that with Triple H fully taking over, there's always the possibility of the forbidden door being opened. You know, as I said many times, if all the companies can work together, professional wrestling will flourish and prosper, you know, greatly. So, I mean, wrestling will truly be, you know, at an all-time low. So, I'm just basically, you know, I'm just really honestly hoping just for the best, just for the best of it. Again, sorry, I'm kind of looking at some of these invitation things like that. So, listen, so the whole thing with Jordynne Grace, you know, coming in and then working a match with the NXT Women's Champion Roxanne Perez, you know, That's already obviously worked out great. Now, Frankie Kazarian had also recently been on NXT programming. So, but the working relationship with TNA Wrestling and WWE has been going on since the beginning of the year. Because again, as I said, the TNA Knockouts champion, Jordynne Grace, appeared at the Royal Rumble. So, and then recently when Grace showed up on NXT, again, she unsuccessfully challenged Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's Championship at Battleground recently. So, you know, and I think basically, you know, against all odds, you know, for a TNA wrestling programming, she actually issued an open challenge for her Knockouts title. So, you know, recently, you know, according to this source, you know, there's several talents out there that WWE has been interested in bringing in, whether it's on a full-time basis or just for this appearance. You know, you can just tell WWE is really committed to really taking things to the next level with this working relationship. So, anyway, I think I have somebody that might actually just be that could just be joining briefly. So I have to apologize to him because, you know, this just came out of nowhere. So now I'm kind of pushing it. I'm kind of basically putting that burden on others. But according to this source, well, Mustafa Ali, that, you know, NXT guy, former WWE guy, who's the current TNA X Division champion, although he's not actually signed to TNA, he's working as a freelancer. You know, WWE would love to bring him in for a program here on NXT. Now, Ali can accept or decline, but, you know, also the current TNA World Champion, Moose. According to this, NXT officials have been interested in working with him for a while, and WWE actually tried to convince Moose to join WWE to work on NXT, but Moose obviously decided against it and said, well, I'm happier with TNA Wrestling, so he chose to stay at TNA Wrestling, so... There's so many choices in TNA wrestling that WWE can bring in for a program on NXT and vice versa. Like see some of the talents at Impact Wrestling come to NXT and work a program, and then NXT talent going to TNA Wrestling, you know, on their program to do something. So, again, as a very passionate fan of professional wrestling, to see TNA Wrestling and WWE have a good working relationship, I'm happy because And I'm happy to see that AEW and New Japan have a good working relationship. And I'm not sure what the status right now between TNA and AEW. The working relationship ended, I think, in 2022. It was basically just a handshake. We're just going to call it a day for now. I don't think there's any bad blood. They just decided that, well, it was a good run, but I think for now we need to kind of focus on our own particular programs. Now, I'm not sure exactly what had been going on in Impact Wrestling for a while. The last big episode I did that has anything to do with TNA Wrestling, again, I'm switching back and forth between TNA Wrestling and Impact Wrestling, but again, everybody knows just who the heck it is. You know, when Scott D'Amore was let go from his position, and well, speaking of Scott D'Amore, recently Will Ospreay has been pushing for AEW to actually hire Scott D'Amore. So, anyway, I mean, so you know, honestly, at the end of the day, anything could happen. Now, I have said about AEW is that, you know, if Tony Khan can basically kind of step away from the data, from the full, like, thing like that, and, like, let the writers handle creative, things will be different. I mean, look, I don't like being critical of any promoter, but at the same time, a lot of wrestling fans, when they don't get what they feel is right, they're definitely going to voice their opinions now. Now, again, everybody's entitled to their opinion now. So, you know, so I think Scott D'Amore working for AEW, like I said, it could be great. I mean, it could be bad. I mean, you know, this is the kind of the beauty of the beast. Like, you just don't know what to expect. But when it comes to professional wrestling, the element of surprise is what we really truly thrive on. So, anyway. So if things are working out so far now, could you imagine if the TNA World Champion Moose, you see, you know, Cody, the Undisputed Champion, has been recently, I think, been on NXT programming, and now he's working just had the I Quit match with AJ Styles. See, and if things go, if this is far beyond out of NXT, if some of the TNA talent even work programs on Raw or SmackDown, that takes the working relationship at a greater level. Now, there's something that we have to understand when it comes to major promotions working together. You have one major star from one promotion working with a major star from the other. Now, it's going to be hard to convince one of them to lose the match, because when you're at that height of popularity, when you are super over, a loss risks derailing it. So what I'm trying to say is, imagine if you have Damian Priest working with, Damian Priest working with a TNA World Champion Moose, or if you have Moose working with Cody, or, you know, the current the NXT Champion. Like, some wrestlers are like, yeah, I don't want to lose, but, you know, it's difficult. But sometimes, you know, in the ways of business, That's just how it works. So I really think that if WWE and Impact and TNA Wrestling, because the relationship is going well so far, if they take things to a higher level and it only gets better, then I feel that AEW is going to be desperate to join in on the fun. Now, my gut feeling tells me that Triple H is open to working with AEW, and I would hope that Tony Khan feels the same way. Because I've said many, many times. Now, again, to remind everybody, I was once on the AEW bandwagon, and I was part of that tribe. So sometimes I sound like a complete hypocrite. Now, oh, we got somebody in the lobby, so we got Tony from the Great Growth Podcast joining in. Let's see how he comes in. There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in Tony from the Great Growth Podcast. Now, he's only going to be here for a brief amount of time. Tony, this episode is about the working relationship with WWE and TNA Wrestling. And I know that you got to be here only for a few minutes because you're about getting ready to record. So let's hear your thoughts. Do you think this is great for both companies? And why? Why or so, why not?
No, I don't think... I think it's good for WWE. I don't think it's good for TNA. But really? I like it. Like, it's cool to see... Okay, dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, I saw Joe Hendry on NXT, and I was just like, sweet, yes, like this I want to see. But what does that do for TNA? Nothing. It's just, hey, we want to borrow your hardworking talent, and in return, they show up on our show. And it might get you guys likes. And that just sounds like a bullshit deal to me. So I don't think it's a good thing, but I do like it too, though, man, because I just like seeing that collaboration, dude. I love WWE, but I've always had a problem with WWE being anti-collab. So it's cool to see. It just kind of sucks, dude, because I really feel like TNA is not going to benefit from this at all. They didn't benefit with AEW, so we'll see.
Yeah, see, because for me, what I've said so far is that if things can work out good so far and things get better, they take it to a higher level, then I think it will. It could help Impact Wrestling in the future if WWE talent works on Impact Wrestling. I keep saying Impact, but it's TNA Wrestling now, but everybody knows who the heck it is. Right. I think that WWE needs to kind of send out their talent as well, because if things work out great between these two, then AEW will have no choice but to join in, and then New Japan. Because I've always said, if all the promotions work together, professional wrestling as a whole will rise to a high level than it has ever been. Wrestling will flourish. It will prosper. It will be more popular than it has ever been. Because you and I have been very, very vocal about the troubles of tribalism in wrestling, because we want every promotion to be successful, because we want professional wrestling itself to be successful.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I feel about it, dude. Like, I'm all for it. I just don't think it's going to do anything for TNA because, again, man, like, those deals just didn't... What did they do for ECW back in the 90s, right? Like, that didn't really do anything. WWE, like, opened up with them for a bit, but that didn't do anything for ECW. I honestly think that... I believe Triple H has good intentions, but I'm positive there's a part of him that's like, sure... I don't have to worry about you guys like getting anything out of this, because he probably sees it the way I do, or people like me that have that business thought, which is like, again, yeah, it's a competitor. It is good for both companies, but realistically, can I make it better for me? So I honestly think that this is just a way to capitalize on each other. I mean, ideally, that's what a collaboration is, right? You're capitalizing on each other for sure. But WWE has that, like, mentality of the no, basically no surrender, dude, no hostages. Like, it's one of those things where the point I'm trying to make, man, is it doesn't matter what company it is. If it's WWE, that other company is probably not going to benefit from it. Not unless there's a change. And what I mean by that is maybe something different. Like, what if, just hear me out on this, but what if Jordynne Grace won the TNA Women's Champion? What if she won that shit, took it to TNA, and then TNA was like, hey, she doesn't have to hold it for a long time, but like, we want her to defend it on our show for like 4 matches. That's all we're asking, 4 matches. Something like that, because it really looks like WWE gets the upper hand in a lot of this. Thus far, it's just TNA wrestlers appearing. But I'm not going to shit on it too much, man, because... I do got to go here in less than a minute. And I just wanted to say this really quick. I think it's cool to see that because, let's be honest, man. Like, did you ever think that was going to happen at all? You know what I mean? Like, I never expected a collaboration. I didn't think there was ever going to be one. And I know they've done their things. You know, I know that Mickie James has showed up, but this is a full-on collaboration. So it's cool to see. I won't lie about that, dude. I kind of am happy like a kid when I see them referencing TNA wrestlers on a WWE show. Like, that's cool to see. So I hope nothing but the best, but I got a feeling that it's just meant for WWE.
Absolutely. And now, just before you go, under Vince McMahon, no way in hell this would happen. But no. Because Triple H is actually working hard to making things better, he's doing a great job so far.
Yeah.
You know what? I just hope it works for the best. Tony, thank you so much for stopping by. I know it was last minute. This is something new I'm trying on this program. Thank you so much for coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure to check out the Greg Girth podcast. Tony and Austin are such a fantastic dynamic duo. They're a huge part in collaboration with the Bear of Texas podcast. Tony, thank you so much, and God bless you, brother.
Thank you, boss, man. I appreciate it, bro.
All right. We'll see you later. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tony of the Great Girth podcast. And you know what? And the fact that he was so nice just to jump in, you know, although, you know, just briefly, but still, you know, it's honestly better than nothing. He's obviously kind of having some technical difficulties on his side because, you know, his screen is still kind of popping up. But anyway, I don't know exactly what's going on his side, but... Anyway, there we go. Now, okay, there we go. I guess it just takes a little bit of time. again, this whole thing is kind of different. So, you know, I've invited somebody else. I've even invited Ricky, invited one of my fellow writers from Third Down Thursdays. So I'm going to try to keep this episode going a little longer. This experiment so far worked out great. So Tony joined in. You see, Tony brought up a good point that he sees this not really benefiting for Impact Wrestling because, you know, I think in his case, see, Impact Wrestling, I think when Impact Wrestling first started, when it was back then, it was called TNA, NWA, you know, obviously the concept was to be like WCW to try to heavily compete with Vince McMahon's sports entertainment juggernaut. You know, and back then, you know, of course, everybody wanted to see WWE destroy everybody. You know, and I was one of them because I was growing up as a kid and as a teenager and into my early adulthood, I was a fully solidified WWE guy. I had no care about other promotions, and that's something I deeply regret. Like, as I've said many times, I care about WWE. I care about AEW. I care about TNA Wrestling. I care about Ring of Honor, AAA Lucha Libre, the CML, whichever one, I forget what the name of that promotion, but I care about professional wrestling as a whole because, you know, let's face it, I love professional wrestling. So, try to find somebody, let's see if I can invite the Playmaker, invite him, like that. Well, send it to him, so we'll see how things go. I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to keep this one going. So far, this has been an experiment. And so far, I can say it's working out quite nice. Kind of looking, you know, who's online. Who should I send an invitation to? So, anyway. So, you know, going back to Tony's point, you know, well, you see, I think we can fully understand. Because, see, you know, for Impact Wrestling, you know, Impact Wrestling, you know, there's been a time when Impact Wrestling was really at a peak. It wasn't quite competing with WWE because WWE was still getting a majority of the views, but Impact Wrestling was doing so well that people were tuning into both programs too. Because, you know, I'll never forget when Bully Ray had that rivalry with AJ Styles. I mean, that was huge. You know, I would say that from... I've never had a problem with TNA Wrestling. I mean, I've watched it over the years a few times. I tuned in every now and then, read articles, talked to TNA Wrestling fans. There was a time where TNA really had a true period of great success. You know, when Bully Ray was, you know, there, you know, there was Hulk Hogan, there was the Aces and Eights, the Main Event Mafia. You know, I forget when the Abyss was there. You know, I think Abyss, he works for WWE, but I think he's retired. He's retired as a wrestler, and I think he works behind the scenes, but... There was a time, you know, when Kurt Angle was there, you know, Samoa Joe, Sting, Jeff Hardy. I mean, TNA Wrestling for a while just had a major plethora of a loaded roster that, you know, TNA Wrestling was doing great. So had I been the fan that I am today and with being able to watch the, you know, access to the channels and everything, I would have, you know, if my job wasn't getting in the way, I was, you know, I would have gladly, and I mean gladly, done everything I could to watch every single program because if I could do that today, you know, watch, you know, follow the Ring of Honor programming, you know, and everything like that, that's how it would do. But, you know, you see, like, going back to this whole thing, because again, you know, I believe it was Bill Gates, you know, we all know how the whole rivalry between Apple and Microsoft, you know, and when I think it was Bill Gates that said that there's better ways to deal with competition than eliminating it. Sometimes working together, it's not only what's best for the companies, but it's best for the future of this particular industry. So, you know, this was like for the sake of future of technology. So, you know, like, I mean, you kind of see like some would say, like, imagine if Walmart and Target worked together. I mean, in that particular world, I just would not see how it would work out. But, you know, well, you know, I'll never forget one time on my Dallas Cowboys podcast, you know, I teased the idea, what if there was a charity exhibition game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Arlington Renegades? I mean, that's obviously something that would never happen, but overall, it was just an idea, it was just a thought. And everybody kind of said, well, Alex, it's a nice thought, but we all know that this is not going to work out because of the scheduling conflicts, because the XFL starts, you know, right after the NFL season ends. So... the players, you know, the NFL players, they're going to kind of want to enjoy their time off before getting ready, before the off-season programmings start. So, anyway, well, nothing from the playmaker. He saw the message, but, you know, hasn't responded. You know, Tony kind of sent me a message as well. He'll ask me if it's still recording. So, I don't know, maybe Tony will want to come back. So, anyway, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, all these people that have been, you know, huge part of it has just been, you know, everybody always welcome. Anyway, all right, well, I think Tony wants to come back in. So, hey, why not? Well, anyway. Well, let me just, you know, I don't want to sit here in the silent, but, you know, way back then, you know, back in the day, when professional wrestling was all territorial and regional, a lot of promotions traded off their talent. Like, you know, remember the show Young Rock, when The Rock's grandmother was running the NWA territory in the state of Hawaii? You know, she had several of Vince's talents, like the Wild Samoans, Macho Man Randy Savage, Andre the Giant. See, in Young Rock, how they're in Hawaii. You see, this was part of the agreements. Back then, promoters would send out some of their wrestlers to one promotion, while the promoter of that promotion would send one of their wrestlers to that one. So these working agreements with these promotions was great, because remember, back then, the National Wrestling Alliance was a governing body. And that episode that we saw, I think it was about the Georgia Championship Wrestling, how once a year, all the promoters would meet, would gather in for a meeting. I mean, it was kind of like a commission meeting, you know, in the world of organized crime, like leaders of certain mafia families. So, but anyway, let's see, yeah. So, all right. So, good. Tell me, hold on. Yeah. So, well, may I ask you, or right now I'm kind of a little briefly distracted. But, you know, back then, you know, how the NWA would kind of operate. Again, sorry, I got distracted. You know, kind of still sending these invites. Oh, Tony's in the lobby. Okay. Well, let's let Tony back in. There he is. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Tony's back. Well, Tony, welcome back.
It's good to be back, man. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, because I briefly was momentarily distracted, because, again, this whole thing was unplanned, and me inviting you was unplanned, so I kind of feel bad that I kind of made it tough on you, but I wasn't sure. Did you want me to join you for your show, or did you want to come back in? I mean, I wasn't sure.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just like, fuck it, I'll see what you're doing, because, yeah, I had some thing come up for work, dude, and, like, I was talking to Austin, and he's like, I just got done with work. And so, you know, like, he was going to do the podcast while he was kind of cleaning up in the food truck. But then my phone's ringing, and I'm like, oh, fuck, one problem off after another. So I was like, dude, I'm sorry. We'll have to go tomorrow. And the problem took care of itself within a second. So I'm like, shit, I already canceled on him. So figured I'd see what you're doing.
Well, you know, the fact is that this is an episode that was unplanned, because, you know, I feel like an idiot, because I didn't think of it because like that. But, you know, with my other job, with everything going on in life right now, it's just hard to fully pay attention to wrestling to the fullest. But I should be doing that because I have a show. But, you know, and I was just telling the folks that, you know, how if promotions work together now, I mean, this is how it was back then, you know, during the days of the NWA, because... Well, yeah. The NWA now is its own promotion. Back then, it was a governing body. Like, mm-hmm. Promoters would send wrestlers to one another for a time, and then kind of like that. Like, did you ever watch the show The Young Rock?
Yep.
You know, like how his grandma ran the NWA territory in the state of Hawaii, and she had Andre, yeah. You know, you see how Andre's there. See, those were Vince's talents. I mean, even Vince McMahon made an appearance on the show. Not the real Vince, but an actor playing Vince, and this was before. This was when Vince was working for his dad. So Vince calls Rock's grandma and says, "Yeah, I'm gonna need you to send back the Wild Samoans, because, you know, they're draws." And he mentions, "Yeah, my dad's always booking Madison Square Garden." So you kind of see a young Vince back then, you know, working under his dad before he took over. So
it's funny that you mentioned that, because growing up as a kid, dude, because of my stepdad being a wrestler, I already knew all about like the territorial days and all that shit. So like anytime I would talk about it, people would look at me like I was a retard. I'm not even kidding, dude. They would go like, "We're talking about WWE." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying." And like, dude, it would confuse everybody. Like, because like I said, my stepdad, dude, he taught me all that stuff. So I already knew that stuff. But the average person didn't know that. You know what I mean? Like, most people didn't even know wrestling was staged at that point. Nobody knew that yet. So it's insane, dude. I was just sitting here thinking about it like, damn, that's crazy that you bring that up. Because, yeah, that was my first, that was my introduction to wrestling was the territories. It's like crazy to think that at one point in time, these guys all did business with each other at a, mm-hmm. at a special council level. Almost like legitimately like the mafia families back in the day.
Yeah, that, the that's exactly what I said before you came back. Every year, once a year, all the promoters would gather in for a meeting. It was like it's like the mafia leaders of a city meeting in on the one of those commission things, whatever they call. It's like the leader of the Gambinos, the leader of, you know, whichever.
The, yeah, that leader would each be elected to like represent their company and like speak for them and do all the deals and shit. That's how that would work, dude. And like that's just how they would fucking go. And that's cool, though, because think about that, man. That was so long ago. There is a whole generation of kids and grown adults that don't know this. They don't know that wrestling used to be collaboration. They don't know this, bro. And they, like, they're over here fighting over fucking AEW versus WWE and shit. Like, it's the funniest thing ever when you're someone as old as me. But it's crazy to think that at one point in time, they did do business with each other. It wasn't like, you know, I'm going to put you out of business. It was just, how do I scratch your back in a way that you can scratch mine? And I kind of liked their setup, man. Think about it. Like, you had to come together to make big decisions, too. It wasn't just like, okay, I'm running my own company on this end. It was basically what I'm doing on my territory needs to impact my territory only. I can't be fucking coming in on this dude's territory. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They had to make, it really was a council. It was crazy. But at the same time, nothing lasts forever. And if those didn't break up, we wouldn't have WWE. If it wasn't for Vince McMahon being a pioneer, a goddamn legend, I'll say it. I don't care what anyone fucking says about him.
You can't take anything away from Vince.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, you can be upset about him all you want. He's a pioneer. So you got to give credit where it's due. And basically, you know, no destruction of the territories, no WWE. It's purely that simple. But damn, yeah, that's... I mean, I wonder what's going on now. Like, who's having those conversations? So it's got to be Hunter and somebody from TNA, clearly. But I'm just like, how are those conversations going down? You know what I mean?
It's definitely a word. Like, and I, how you mentioned, back then, the promoters, they answered to the head officials of the National Wrestling Alliance. See, when Vince McMahon took over his dad's company, he went against his dad's wishes to break it away from the NWA because it was thought that wrestling would always be territorial.
Yeah.
See, and after Vince did it, the AWA, Vern Gagne, and the AWA, the Minneapolis-St. Paul territory, they soon broke away. I'm not sure when exactly the AWA did. Now, the AWA worked great for a while until, well, actually, you know what? I think the AWA broke away long before Vince did because when Vince took over, he raided the territories. He took Hulk Hogan from the AWA along with several other talents. So, yeah, so I think the AWA broke away from the NWA. I think it broke away when Vern Gagne took over that promotion. Now, the promotion from my hometown, World Class Championship Wrestling, ran by the legendary Fritz Von Erich, they were with the AWA for a long time. And when they broke away from the NWA, that's when things started to go bad for them. So, unfortunately, I mean, you know, it's just like, you know, I think when Vince, you know, took over, he knew that wrestling was changing. So that's why he took that chance. But I wasn't wrong, but like, no, this was against his dad's wishes to break away from the National Wrestling Alliance.
That's what you were saying. No,
the WWE had already done it. It's just that, I don't know how to explain it, but you know, it's just that wrestling, you see, because we talk about the working relationship now between WWE and TNA that we have to bring in the history, because this is not the first time that major promotions have worked together.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, like I mentioned, man, in the 90s, lots of fucking nerds love bringing this up. In the 90s, man, fucking ECW and WWE doing some work together. Let's see, lots of nerds like talking about, yeah, territorial days. I mean, dude, there's tons of stuff. I mean, this isn't the first time WWE is collaborating, but it's kind of the first time that it's being done at a somewhat, like, full potential, like, not Vince-y edited, you know what I'm saying? Like, Vince isn't here. He has no say in any of this. This is a whole new baby. So, this is kind of a big deal, but like I said, I put my two cents in earlier. I was like, I don't think this is going to work for TNA. We'll see. I hope for the best. I really do, because I don't want companies to fail, dude. I don't get that fucking, that ratings and mind, you know, the ratings and the TV viewership number mindset. I don't understand that crap at all. Like, I just don't get, like, wanting, first off, if you need numbers and you need a bunch of old ex rejects that used to be wrestlers with podcasts telling you what to enjoy, yeah, you're a fucking idiot. That's just my honest opinion. But that aside, regardless, dude, I think it's a weak mentality to have to want a wrestling company to fail just because you love one over the other. That's so stupid. Right. I mean, honestly, it's a fucking sport, basically, dude. It's awesome. Right. I mean, people have their opinion on what it's called, but to me, it's a sport. It's a sport that can be enjoyed across fucking all avenues. It doesn't have to be one thing.
I agree. And you know, with how AEW is going, I mean, AEW is trying, but they got to make a lot of changes. And I think the first thing they got to do is Tony Khan needs to step away. Tony Khan owns the company. I think he needs to kind of step down from making the decisions in the creative as the head writer. Like, he basically just needs to give those up to somebody that could do, like, Scott. And I mentioned this already. Scott D'Amore, who formerly worked for TNA Wrestling. Will Ospreay has reportedly been pushing for Scott D'Amore to be brought in. You see, look, I'm not saying Tony Khan is, I'm probably needed for saying this, he's not horrible. He does makes a lot of questionable and wrong decisions, but look, Vince has done it, Triple H has done it, New Japan has done it. Look, it's not that you won't please everybody, you can't please everybody.
Well, so, yeah, right now it's a trend, dude, to hate AEW. Like, it doesn't matter how good they're gonna get, dude. Even if they get good ratings and shit, people are still gonna find something to bitch about. It could be AEW, it could be WWE, it could be anything. It's never going to be perfect anyway. You're right, dude. You cannot please everybody, like, at all anyway. So, it doesn't matter what they do, in my opinion, dude. They're always going to get fucking nitpicked. But, at the same time, dude, I agree. There's a lot of shit that needs to get, like, done. And I'm talking immediately, dude. I'm sorry, but this whole fucking Elite thing is so bad. Like, dude, the dialogue is terrible. It's like, okay, it really feels like they're not trying. And I hate to talk about someone who's doing better things than me, but those fucking guys, dude, it really feels like they're just not trying. It feels like they're reading a script and they don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, that's annoying. They need to change that. But for whatever reason, dude, Tony Khan is, I don't know, dude, he's questionable. Like, I like some of his booking decisions, but I fucking can't stand some of them as well. There's a lot of things he does. It's just, like, bizarre. It really is true what they say, dude. He's kind of like a kid who's playing with his wrestling action figures, and he's picking ones that he wants to have dream matches with. He's like, oh, yeah, Goldberg and fucking Kurt Angle. Why not? Like, shit that doesn't make sense for no reason, and just going, that'll be a 5-star match. And I'm not trying to shit on that either, because dude, AEW has, like, some fucking banger matches. AEW has better wrestling. But WWE has the better fucking storytelling, dude. And at least the better acting. AEW, right. Yeah, they need to make a lot of changes, dude. They're in a bad place right now.
The whole thing with the Elite right now had potential, but it's just, it's not going there. Now, somebody that I sent an invitation to make a, to drop by, unfortunately they can't, they're at work, but they did, they did say a statement they want me to share. This is Dre Day of the Dre Way with Sportsway podcast. I hope I said it correctly. Sportsway with Dre Day podcast. He says that he's absolutely loving this, that the Forbidden Door thing, it's time for these companies to work together. So, yeah, so he's basically kind of like, we're saying, like, it's time for all companies to work together. Because, again, if all companies work together and it all works out well, pro wrestling goes to a highest level and it flourishes and it prospers. And then it's so good that all promotions have no choice but to keep this going. And you know, some would say this is AEW's only shot of staying alive. Because if they don't join in on the fun, that AEW is going to go down under. See, you see, Mark, who's been on the show many times, you know, I thought I was critical of wrestling, but, I mean, he is so overly critical of AEW. I mean, he calls it WCW 3.0. He calls it the land of the dinosaurs.
Well, yeah, that's what guys, like, I do like Mark. I actually really do. But, no, that's what a lot of guys like him do, though, dude. Like,
we got somebody in the lobby.
They always call it that, and they always go back to WCW. They always compare it to WCW, dude. No matter what, it's always. That's why I kind of like take it with a grain of salt. I'm like, mm-hmm. Like, right. I don't take it to heart like most fans do. Because again, dude, I just like, that's kind of common. You know what I mean? Like, I hear that a lot, so I'm like, Like, it's just one of those things where it's a silly thing. Like, you remember when Triple H said, he was doing a post show for one of the PLEs and he was like, we're not going to call it the Forbidden Door. That's silly. We'll just call it what it is, you know, promote cross promotion or whatever. People took that as like an insult. And I was like, I don't really take that as an insult though. Cause he's got a point, dude.
He does. Whole thing,
it's silly, dude. Forbidden Door. Like that's so fucking goofy.
I don't want to interrupt you, but we got somebody in the lobby. I'm going to go ahead and let him in. All right. We got somebody else joining in. We got the playmaker himself. He's actually the gentleman that strongly suggested this episode. So I figured it's only fair if we invite him in for him to make a statement. So playmaker, let the world know. What do you think of the working relationship with WWE and TNA Wrestling? Is it good for both? Is it good for only one? Why or why not? Have at it, playmaker.
Well, it's a good thing as of right now. When you have Jordynne Grace crossing over and challenging Roxanne Perez for the NXT Women's title at Battleground, hosted at USC's location in Las Vegas. That was a sight to see, and I love how they did that match. Because if you weren't going to have Jordynne Grace win the title, it couldn't be a straight-up victory, which it wasn't. So now you have one of the participants who was involved in distracting Jordynne Grace in that match, and Tatum Proxy now challenging Jordynne Grace for her Knockouts Championship. So we already see that it's not a one-way thing here when it comes to this relationship. And also, last night, you had the battle royal. You had several guys from TNA joining this battle royal for a shot at Trick Williams in the NXT Championship. Top two guys that come to mind is Joe Hendricks and Frankie Kazarian, which, by the way, Joe Hendricks was eliminated at the start of the match by Frankie Kazarian. So right now, Dale, this relationship is going on very well, and I don't think it's over. I think it's still going to continue on.
You see, and I told everybody at the beginning of this episode, this started out at the Royal Rumble when Jordynne Grace was made an appearance in the match, and Tony and I talked to, and Tony, who's also here, we talked about that. You know, AEW had a relationship with Impact, and I think that if things go so well between WWE and Impact, AEW and New Japan are going to want to join in, because if all promotions work together and it works out so good, and this is like the 10th time I've said on this show, because everybody has to know, pro wrestling will flourish, it will prosper, it will be at a high level that it has never been before, pro wrestling will be at an all-time great, it'll be so great that promotions are going to say, this is how pro wrestling has to do. This is going to be way better than back in the day when Ric Flair was in his prime, when you had Dusty Rhodes, you know, the days of wrestling, you know, the territorial days. It's going to be a nostalgic thing, but it's going to be even better than what we saw before. And I'm sure that those legends, they would want wrestling to be better than it was before. They want to see pro wrestling flourish like it never has.
Well, I think we do have Forbidden Door coming up soon. I don't know exactly the date of it, but we do have Forbidden Door coming up soon, so we'll see what kind of. We already got some matches going on. I know Mercedes Moné will be defending her title at Forbidden Door.
You know, and speaking of AEW, Tony and I just talked about it, and I said that, and you mentioned in our phone conversation that AEW is trying. My suggestion is that I said this, and Tony agrees that Tony Khan needs to step away from, you know, from like the creative, you know, from the writing and all that. And he needs, you see, Scott D'Amore, who formerly worked for Impact Wrestling, Will Ospreay, from what I understand, is put, I don't know if it's still happening, but he had pushed for Scott D'Amore to be brought in. To be one of the writers, or maybe the head writer.
Well, the smartest things they could do.
Yeah. So what do you think, Playmaker?
I would say this. When it comes to AEW, first thing is, one, you need to figure out what you're doing with Ring of Honor. Because that was literally a whole separate company that you bought, and it doesn't even stand out no more at all.
Which is really, really sad.
Yeah, it's a dead sucking rate show now.
You have too many belts that people can't keep up with, and you have too many shows. Like, for the amount of talent that Tony Khan has signed, he's not using all the talents. For to have like four shows, he's not using all of them. You can use all your talent if you're going to have four shows.
I mean, you might as well. I mean, you invested money into it. So if you're investing money, but you're not doing anything with it, you know, then what's the freaking point? See, because, you know, and I remind everybody, because not long ago, I was on the AEW bandwagon. I was basically on the AEW tribe. I've learned from my mistakes. So, you know, I will say, when AEW first started, it was honestly the best thing in wrestling. But and then when the pandemic hit, that's when things started to go bad. But AEW could have gone back to the top if they had done things correctly, but they haven't. And we've said it many times, they have the good matches, but WWE has the better storylines and the better acting. Because Tony just, you know, Tony said before you came in that the whole thing with the Elite right now, it had potential, but it has not been going well at all.
They should have done that shit like yesterday, like when they started this company up on TV. That's when people wanted to see this, not now. It's too little, too late, dude. It's not even worth salvaging. This is what
I consider AEW right now. AEW is that sugar rush for fans. You get what you want quick, fast, in a hurry, but then you crash because there's nothing else.
There's no story. There's no reasoning. Yeah.
But
I mean,
yeah, it's just like watching a highlight. You're watching a highlight that's a small clip and it doesn't have.
But I will say this. What they are doing, what I believe will be the main event for Forbidden Door, will be Will Ospreay's and Sora Strickland. I like what they did tonight in that promo. So
it's a great thing, but I think this should happen at I forget the name of the paper that's in London, because if they're gonna put the belt on Ospreay, hey, shouldn't he win the belt in London?
I don't think they're gonna put the belt on him at Forbidden Door though. Because one thing is, and I think
if they do, there's going to be a fucking
and
riot.
One thing I do say, and I just gave them credit, now I gotta give them a now I gotta take it back, because Will Ospreay is your international champion, and he's going into a match for the AEW champion. Why are you having him defend his title on Collision against Brian Cage?
More questionable calls right there. That's why I stress the fact Tony Khan needs to back away. But at the same time, I get it. It's his company. Okay, well, some would say technically it's his dad's company, because we all know where the money comes from. But listen, I've said this. Look, Tony Khan has made decisions that I don't agree with. Not the worst booker, not the best. But I think what's best for the company is he needs to step away from those decisions. Like, he's got to, if you have all that money to bring in the talent, you've got the money to hire the writers who know what they've been doing, because they've been doing this for a long time.
I mean, so Tony Khan, he needs to have people accountable. The whole thing with the Elite.
Yeah.
And I said this on my show, Monster Wrestling. I said, all right, we get the fact that you did what you did. You pulled people out of the blue to put together for this opening match. Only thing Tony Khan had to do is say, if you're going to have the Elite win, only thing Tony Khan had to say is, look, these were the four guys that was available. This is not my team to take you down. And if he comes out and says that, it gets people thinking like, so Tony Khan does have a plan. Now we want to see what the plan looks like. What is going to unfold? What is going to happen? He never did that. Only Tony Khan had to do is say, that was not my original team. Y'all took me out. And then y'all wanted a match, so we had to pull whatever we can pull. But that's not the team that I got for y'all.
Well said. Well said. Well, Playmaker, thanks so much for dropping by. Anything else you want to say?
Appreciate it coming on and dropping some, having the time with you. And Tony, y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Y'all been doing a good job. Look forward to some more content from y'all too when it comes to wrestling.
This experiment is, I'm gonna try to make this a recurring thing, try to bring in people and make statements, you know, while I'm recording. This is what's great about Riverside. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you out there that have a passion for basketball, you need to check out the Playmakers show. It's called Shooting Lights Out. It's the greatest basketball podcast in the world. If you're a Rams fan, check out Ramley Talk. And also be sure to check out the Playmakers blog website. Ladies and gentlemen, you will not be disappointed. Playmaker, thank you so much, brother. Right, you as well. Well, I can honestly say, Tony, this is working out great. And you know what? Here you are on the first time making this experiment. Tony, you're making this work out great. So did Playmaker. I mean, I'm just so grateful right now. I'm so grateful for you, brother, and for Playmaker.
Well, hey, man, and thanks grateful for having Dre. Me.
Unfortunately, Dre couldn't come in because he's at work, but he did give me something to tell. So, you know, you know what? I might not have been able to think of, why did I think this before is what I'm thinking, but you know what? The best time probably would have been 2 weeks ago. The second best time is right now. So let's go.
Honestly, man, the most fun I have on the podcast is experimenting. Like, it sucks because it can be good, but it can kill you. But I love doing it because not only do I get bored trying to stick to a routine, but I like to see where I make mistakes so that way I can fix that shit. It's nice to be able to just fucking free ball it. You know what I mean? Like, whenever Austin and I can't make it, if I have it in me to just pick up the mic and just say some shit and I feel like it'll flow, then I'll do a whole episode. I might not be able to do it for an hour. Like, the longest I've gone is like 48 minutes, but if I have it in me, I'll do it. And I know it's probably going to kill me. Like, it's definitely not been good on the views. Some of my solo episodes aren't the best for obvious reasons, but it was fun. I actually had fun doing it. I was like, dude, it was kind of nice because it taught me how to stay centered and focused. Because you and I have both said doing solo episodes are fucking difficult. I don't know how you do that shit, dude. Like, I can hardly do it.
It when I first started doing solo episodes, I messed up a lot, and I will still mess up today. I'm kind of used to going solo. It's not because I don't trust anybody. It's because everybody has a schedule. You see, the fact is, it's the grace of God that I invited you and that you were able to come in. At first, it was only planned because you were supposed to record with Austin, but unfortunately, there's plans change. So you asked to come back in, and I'm like, you know what? Because Tony's a good friend. You know, even though we've only known each other for months, I mean, the friendship I have with you and Austin has just gotten better and better and better. You know, the Bear of Texas podcast has a working relationship being built with the Great Grith podcast because Austin's been on Cowboys Talk. You've been on Ringside Chaos and things are going great. It's going slowly, but that's the way it goes. We don't want to rush it. So
exactly, man.
But going back, you know, doing the solo episode is not easy, especially when it comes to wrestling and my other shows, like with my football podcast. I mean, I don't like saying soccer because it's football, but you know, sometimes you just have to go through it. And, you know, and when Playmaker suggested this episode, and I was like, you know, normally by now I'm in bed because I got to work tomorrow, but like, you know what? Screw that. I got to put in more sacrifice to this, even if it means losing sleep, even though I'm probably going to be going through hell tomorrow, you know, having like 180 houses to deliver packages to with like over 300 packages. You know what? So be it. You got to put yourself through hell to reach the top. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, well, sent out a couple of other invitations, but of course, you know, some of them didn't respond. But I think we've covered everything. I like that. So I've repeated everything so many times because, you know, people stopping by. But Tony, thank you again for stopping by and coming back on. You know, it's great to have you back on the show. You know, and it's good that sometimes out of nowhere, these blessings just come out at you. And, you know, this was great. So before I close it out, before I kind of get my closing, tell the world where they can find you and your show.
Well, shit, man. Thanks for having us. If you're looking for something funny, exciting, a little random, something you can turn your mind off to, something that praises America but makes fun of hicks while still glamorizing women and making fun of chicks with dicks, then you can definitely find the Great Girth Podcast on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, which is going away very soon, I'm told. Google Podcasts, we're on Pandora. For YouTube and Rumble, that's going to be at the Great Girth Podcast. Same as Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, it's at the Great Girth Podcast. Don't have a website yet, that's under maintenance. Otherwise, if you want to submit a question or talk some shit and get a response from us, maybe, you got to find us on Instagram. That's going to be, again, at the Great Girth Podcast. And thanks again, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very, very much. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available wherever you get your podcasts. So if you love professional wrestling, this is the show for you. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell so we know for sure that any new content you will not be missing out on. And if you know somebody that loves professional wrestling, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend, then please have them check out the show, because if you love professional wrestling, this is the show for you. Tony, thank you again for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope the first time experiment worked out well, because this is going to be kind of a recurring thing moving forward. And you know what? It's always, there's never a time not to take things to the next level. And that's what I'm committed to. So thank you very much, Tony. And we'll see everyone next time.
See you next time, bro.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.